I'm actually going to be somewhat brief and try to be very, very practical. I'm a bridge person and have been for a long time, bridging between public health and education, working with health departments and with school systems, and what does that look like, and how do you do it well, and how do you really make impact with two types of focuses that are very, very interdependent, but at the same time work in kind of different time frames and have different missions. And you'll see from this, one of the things I did is I pulled heavily from a workshop that's available called How Schools Work and How to Work with Schools, which is for public health professionals. And that workshop was developed by the last two people on my slide here, Brenda and Jim, who are really health people working in national education organizations and looking across the country and sort of thinking about how can they internally in those education organizations help strengthen what's happening in health. I also work with some other what I call bridge people at CDC. Mary Vernon Smiley works with the Division of Adolescent and School Health, which is actually in the Chronic Disease Center, but because they look at schools and health, they actually do have some infectious disease components, and Mary is the focal point for both health services in school systems as well as mental health. Diane Allensworth also has been a long time person working between the two education and health agencies, and she heads up a group that looks at building partnerships with education that's at CDC. So she's the education partnership lead at CDC. Oops, going the wrong way. Very briefly, what I'm going to do is just talk about collaborations with education, but then identify some specific ways immunization folks might be able to build and support what's already happening in schools that are promising practices related to public health delivery. And then I'm going to talk about some very beginning initial steps. My PowerPoint handout that's in the back has a handout stapled to it with some websites and some other things that may be of use. First thing to know is, you know, something that's pretty simple. What do you want from schools when you're approaching a school? But then you need to be able to very clearly articulate what you can offer to schools or any kind of education setting. I know Dr. Turner later is going to be talking about university settings. Many of these concepts would apply in a university setting. There's some similarities, but most of my focus is going to be on K-12 education. And then, finally, how is my agenda related to what's important to education leaders? Because they're not thinking health. Maybe if they're thinking health, it's with a piece of their brain, but their whole focus is on academic achievement. And you all know that. Many of y'all are already working in schools. There's a resource, if you haven't stumbled on it already, and you can see you can at the website there where you can access it. And there's actually going to be another version being done, also funded by CDC. This is a way to show the data and the science linking health to education outcomes. This is a document that has value to education leaders. And what it does is it looks at a variety of types of health work in schools and the science behind it, and it does include a section on health services. First thing, anybody who's even started to work in schools, what you know immediately is they're very diffuse. They're not like us. They're very diffuse. There are some 15,000 school districts in the United States. They operate pretty independently, and in many school districts, schools have local control, and principals are making decisions about what happens in that school. So you can kind of see a little bit. They're designed that way on purpose so that communities can guide what happens in schools. This is the approach to school health that most of the people working in the school health area use. It's often centered at the Division of Adolescent School Health at CDC, but at the same time, many people not funded by CDC, just working in schools and school health, use this model. This is pretty much the standard kind of approach. And what you can see is that health is not just the curriculum, it's not just health services, but it does include families and it does include health promotion for staff, just because schools are a large work site. And the way school folks look at this is to begin to say, how can we organize a very uncoordinated system? A lot of times it looks pretty uncoordinated. How can we organize it and take advantage of it in as many ways as possible? And what I did with my limited knowledge, I pulled together a look at those eight components, and you kind of see how I linked it to some infectious disease issues. And I put several of the immunization pieces in there, but you can kind of see, and you could probably know some details about what that would look like. There are often champions for each of these within the school district that, you know, if you didn't have some kind of structure in the school, it'd be hard to sort of tap into all of this. Those eight components build into, you know, district and school actions at a local level, state actions, priority objectives for the school around health, goals, and as you can see, sort of a combined health and education goal. This is some data I wanted to share with you. When Achabat mentioned early on, what some of my work through the years has been to look at how to build infrastructure in schools so health, various types of health issues can plug into the school in a logical way and take advantage of some structure that exists. And the two main structures that are being recommended by CDC right now are a concept around councils. And there's actually some national legislation that came out related to the school lunch program. But what happened is out of CDC and many of the state departments of ed and health worked with that legislation to help create councils and districts that look at health issues across the board. So they're often called school health councils. Schools may call them different things. We are starting to measure that with the school health policies and programs study. The most recent one came out in the fall. This is an in-depth, two-week interview process with a school and a school system to find out what their policies and programs are. And so the data is actually fairly detailed. The council concept is, you can see kind of catching on. Many schools have something like that, but they don't all look uniform. About 73 quarters, really, of districts have one or more councils of some sort. Those are internal, external experts stepping back, helping decide policies and processes that can impact the health of children. Out of those 73%, 82% of them have a group like that looking at school health services. So that's valuable to know, that they have some kind of structure in place that you might be able to plug into. Interestingly, even though these are supposed to bring in the expertise around them, these are education organizations. They don't always know what we know. And only 51% of those school health councils and districts have a health department representative, which is amazing. I looked at the data last week and I thought, you know, that's fascinating. This is a bit of a simple way, given the abilities to sort of help talk with some of the people doing health in that school system, this might be valuable. I can also tell you they often don't meet much. They might meet quarterly. So they really are a high-level group that's looking at the policies and providing advice to the school board and the superintendent. 68% of them have, the districts in this country, have some kind of school health coordinator, a staff person who sees their job as coordinating all the health components. And they often come with public health backgrounds. This is a little bit of the kind of philosophy behind those components and coordinating school health. You can kind of see that how this works and what the purpose of having the coordination is about coordination and focusing on strengthening what's happening in the schools so that public health can have a long-term relationship with any school system. This is a document on how schools work and how to work with schools. It's a companion to the workshop. It can also be ordered directly and is valuable on its own. This is the website at CDC that talks about school health. And you can go there and start looking into it. It's got, from a disease perspective, a lot of chronic disease emphasis. But if you go into the coordinated school health program pieces of it, you'll see the places where infectious disease can connect. Let me tell you briefly about the handout that I have. I put together a matrix that said if you're going to be talking to people at a state, who you might talk to. In about half the states, CDC funds a high level, like an assistant superintendent level, health person who works at a state level with the state superintendent, whatever that chief state school officer of some sort. And at that same state, they also fund a high-level person in the Department of Health. Those states are listed on this website. If you haven't talked with them, you might talk with them. They know a lot about how schools work and how to sort of begin to implement. I talked with somebody yesterday who's actually not even funded by CDC, but does this role in the state of Texas. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I am working with the various types of public health issues, public health and mental health issues, and he's also certainly looking at nutrition and physical activity. He's looking at a range of public health issues, and he is pulling that together and then helping them connect into the schools. And so he is working as the person who already knows the school systems, already knows how these things can work to help facilitate that. And on the matrix, I've got what to do if you talk at a district level. There are websites to help people. When schools don't have a counselor coordinator, there are plenty of resources for them. Many of them have mandates at the state level to have some kind of counsel, either in the districts or at the state level, and these bridges to the school health community can help you with that. On the back, I have a couple of other resources, and I have my email. So if you're in a city or a state and are interested in saying, is there a bridge person that I might want to touch base with? We've been working in schools, but this might be helpful to have the school health person who's looking broadly across health issues. Go ahead and email me. I have told the Division of Allison School Health I'd sort of act as a conduit to reach in, whether they have people funded, but in many cases, if they're not people funded in those half the states that don't have people funded, you can contact me, and we often know people in universities who have deep relationships around health in schools, and or there may be people, as I said, who aren't funded by CDC, who are just simply have that expertise and decades of experience working with that. So that's my helpful piece.